That's what Barry has just walked in. Barry Chapman. He celebrated a huge event, a monumental birthday achievement. That was on Saturday, and he's still needing to go back home on a Tuesday morning because, hey, the head is still pounding. He must have gone large, Barry.
Yeah, you don't recover as quickly as you do as when you were in your youth, eh?
Well, wait. It's only just begun, Ben. Anyway, happy birthday for Saturday. It was lovely to see that you were celebrating in fine form.
Beautiful.
And sad that you didn't make our run on Sunday, because I know that you generally lead the charge, but you're forgiven under the circumstances.
Well, thank you. I'll definitely make sure I'm there next year, but I was so excited for this one, but I felt like a used part on Saturday, Sunday morning.
Understandable. Now, talking about used parts, I was fascinated to discover something about, because we've been talking a lot about geysers. This is a plumbing chat, and geyser hot water system, very important part of life, until it goes wrong, of course, then it's a nightmare. And apparently there is, and I didn't know this, I think you've mentioned it, but I think I'll unpack it a bit. There's a sacrificial anode in a water heater.
Yes.
That depending on the quality of your water, erodes at a steady pace until it's gone. But it's a replaceable part, apparently.
Correct.
And if you replace these anodes every roughly, what, 18 months or so it takes to go.
Yeah.
If you do that, your water closet, your water heater, your geyser will last much longer.
100%. Yeah. So instead of the geyser vessel itself being attacked and rusting away or corroding away, the sacrificial anode takes that place, but obviously when it's depleted, there's nothing left of it. It then starts eating into your water heater. So the unfortunate thing with the anode is sometimes they get stuck in, and you can't undo them out of the nut in the geyser.
Ah.
And this generally happens when it's left too long. We have come across some jobs where people have just thrown the anode into the geyser, but it serves absolutely no purpose because it needs to be earthed and grounded onto the vessel itself so it becomes part of it.
Yeah.
If it just gets thrown into the vessel, it's insulated from the vessel itself because you've got your epoxy lining or your ceramic lining on the inside of the water heater, which is insulating it from the metal. So very, very important from a geyser maintenance perspective to have that anode looked at and changed. A lot of people just overlook it and go, oh, my geyser's insured. I'm not going to do it. You could probably push it to 2 years on the anode replacement. But we've got clients that we religiously change them, and they've had the same geyser for 15 years.
Wow. See, that's the thing. Is it a difficult job? Is it an expensive job?
No. It's not. It's literally, if the anode is free to be able to be removed, you're in for an hour and a half and the anode. The anode itself is a couple of $100, and then your labor to remove it, reinstall, fill up the system, bleed all the air out, and move on.
And you do this from the outside of the geyser, not clearly from the inside, because it's difficult to get into it.
Yeah, so there is a little cap on the geyser with where the anode nut is, but you do need to drain the geyser to at least the level of where that nut is, so that when you pull it out, water doesn't go splashing everywhere.
How do you do that? Just open a tap?
So On your geyser, you've got a drain cock. It's the cold water inlet for the geyser. The drain cock is specifically designed for draining the vessel. So it's a matter of opening up the drain cock and opening up the hot water vacuum breaker to allow air to flow into the vessel to allow the water to drain out.
It is a fairly specialized job. You're not going to be... It's not a DIY fix.
No, I wouldn't say it's a DIY because things could go wrong pretty quickly. There's a few things you need to keep an eye on. You know, you're draining the geyser, there's a drip tray tight. Quite often we come to properties and the adapter that goes from the drip tray to the 50 mil pipe is broken. And is it discharging outside in the right place? Okay. We went to a house the other day where they put, on the overhang of the house, they had put eaves around. Fortunately enough, the eaves were done properly with cement fiberboard. But the discharge pipes for the geyser were above the eaves. So we had to go remove tiles, cut a hole in the eaves, and reposition the pipes so that they were sticking out and visible. If there was any issues, you know where the water's coming from.
So this is a fairly simple fix, but it's like the stitch in time that saves nine. Without it, and most people, I'm sure, I'm positive, do not realize that a geyser needs to be needs maintenance, needs that sacrificial anode, which is essentially a chunk of metal that corrodes at a certain pace, because it's like the same kind of anode on the hull of a ship.
It's, same thing, yeah.
It's designed to... what is the scientific principle behind it?
Oh, jeez, now you're getting into the white coat stories, eh?
Okay, so effectively, it instead of attacking the metal of the
geyser, itself.
It's an electrostatic process or something like that.
Electrolysis.
It's because there is an electric charge and there is metal, and then water tends to react to that, and it creates this situation where metal is particularly corroded by that kind of action. And instead of the metal of your geyser being corroded, this is this sacrificial lump of softer metal that is designed to corrode instead of the vessel. And, of course, once it's all gone, then the corrosion starts on the vessel itself, and that's where the problem comes. So that's why geysers don't last very long. Generally speaking, it's not the geysers' poor construction or the fact that, they just don't make them like they used to. It's because of that. And how many people know that? No one is told when you get a geyser installed, unless, of course, it's by Chapman, when they do tell you. But mostly it's just you buy a house or you build a house, and there it is. Goodbye, have fun. And a couple of years later, you're definitely going to have a big problem in your ceiling if you haven't had a sacrificial anode checked and replaced. You didn't know. Bad luck. Insurance might cover it. The carpet is ruined. The ceiling is...
Well, that's the one big thing that insurances are moving towards now, is they latent damages from burst geysers. If your geyser is not installed in a compliant manner, and a lot of the insurances now are asking for certificates of compliance, because they want to know and make sure that geyser is installed correctly.
So top tip is just get an expert to come out, or just a reliable plumbing service to come out and do the, probably not even an inspection, just replace the anode. It's simple as that. I mean, if you're going to do the inspection, that's the cost anyway.
Yeah.
The anode itself is negligible, so just replace it. Do it regularly, every 18 months or so. It'll give you peace of mind. It'll give you a long-lasting geyser. You don't have the schlep of having a disaster in your ceiling or wherever your geyser's mounted. And generally speaking, you have that ability then to sleep peacefully at night. 100%. And know that you are going to probably have hot water in the morning. If our friends from, we were not going to go into the electricity situation. Now we're going to talk about that another time. But looking for a good plumber to sort out that problem for you, give Barry and his team a ring. Chapman Plumbing, they are the specialists, the geyser specialists in this case. Barry, recover well.
Thank you.
And we will catch up in a week's time.
Absolutely fantastic.
And the morning show continues.